We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
Leaders are at the bottom of the pyramid because we bear the weight for the actions that we take and the decisions that we make. That's really important because if you bear the weight, you free up your people to take care of the customers and to take care of themselves, which we had to do.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk to retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. As we head into fall and the start of the holiday shopping season, we're taking a moment this week to highlight some of the best NRF content that you may have missed over the summer. Our virtual conference in June, NRF Converge, and September's weekly webinar series, NRF Next. While Next and Converge are over, there are many moments that have not been forgotten, and I've got my colleague Jen Overstreet with me to share some of the best moments from this summer's virtual programming. Jen, welcome.
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
Great.
So, you know, you think about what we did this summer, and that is a lot of programming. I think the summer shows really covered a very broad range of retail topics. I mean, you think about marketing, loss prevention, supply chain, technology, leadership. Tell us, what are the pieces that we're going to share today?
Yes. So our summer shows covered a very broad range, but there are some themes that I kept noticing, and that's what I wanted to share with you today. A lot of it is, now that we're coming out of the pandemic, there's a lot of reflection on what the pandemic has taught us, how we can innovate quickly, how we can move so quickly and not get stuck in the bureaucracy, how we can step on the accelerator. And as we're coming out of it, there's a sense of excitement about the future. And so the clips that I chose today are all kind of reflective of that.
You know, early on in the pandemic, when we talked about this, it was kind of like one of the exciting things about being here and now during this extraordinary, unprecedented time of uncertainty is that we get to watch and to help and to be a part of what I believe is a change in the industry will never be the same. And it's kind of exciting to be a part of that generational shift to a new level of innovation that we've never seen before.
Completely agree. Mm-hmm.
So I think that everything we're about to present here in RGR is also available on demand. So you can go online and check out the full sessions. Now, our first clip comes from NRF Converge back in June, way back in June. It's a keynote with Carol Tomei, who's the CEO of UPS.
Yeah, and Carol's session is completely worth a listen. So I encourage all the listeners to go log into NRF On Demand and watch the whole thing. But this one part we're about to hear is one I really appreciate because she talks about how she learned throughout her career about leading through a crisis.
She's great. If you've never had the opportunity to listen to her, to be with her, you got to take this opportunity.
That's right. Let's listen.
Now, I was very fortunate when I worked for Home Depot to actually work with Home Depot founders, Bernie Marcus and Arthur Blank. And they created a very unique management construct of the inverted pyramid, where the leaders are at the bottom of the pyramid and our associates or employees who take care of our customers are at the top of the pyramid. Leaders are at the bottom of the pyramid because we bear the weight for the actions that we take and the decisions that we make. That's really important because if you bear the weight for those actions that you take and decisions that you make, you can free up your people to take care of the customers and to take care of themselves, which we had to do. Now, so it was all about flipping the pyramid around. So we were at the bottom and we were taking care of our people. But we also listened to our customers. And I learned that from Home Depot too. The answers to all of your problems can be found by listening to your customers. And our customers were telling us, you are too slow. It takes too long to deliver packages on the ground. And you've got competition that's faster than you are on the ground. So I'm like, all right, well, what's it going to take to improve our time in transit? And the team said, it's just a bit of money. I'm like, well, we got some money. We can spend that money. We can accelerate that initiative. So we did. We pulled that initiative forward. It was scheduled to complete in June of this year. We pulled it forward so it completed in October of last year. And our customers really, really responded to that. And we've seen some great success as a result. So I really relied on a leadership lesson from the Home Depot days during the last recession, not the COVID recession, but the last recession, which was driven by a financial crisis and a housing blow up, that a crisis is a terrible opportunity to waste. And investing through crises can actually pay huge dividends. And that's what it's done here at UPS.
So Jen, what's next?
NREF Next is next.
Next.
So, yes. So for those who may not have realized, NREF Next was a weekly webinar series. We released a new episode throughout the month of September on Wednesdays, and it focused all on the future of digital commerce. So all of these sessions were super quick, very inspiring, really forward-looking. And the session that we're about to listen to is on the last mile, but it's a take that I had never heard of before. And that's the opportunity for the commercial, the academic, and the civic city planning worlds to come together to address urban planning challenges around delivery. And there's a woman named Anne Goodchild, who's the founding director of Supply Chain, Transportation, and Logistics Center at the University of Washington. And she's explaining a little bit of the project that they're working on and why the attitudes are so perfect at the moment to actually create something new and exciting.
You know, I missed this. I'm going to listen to this because I've been down in Florida for a while, and here in the community where I am, they're opening a Amazon distribution center and a Federal Express sorting center. And they're all really talking about the first mile and the impact that that's having on the communities here in Florida. Mm. So this is going to be a great clip.
The work she's doing is really fascinating.
We as the Urban Freight Lab have been, you know, trying to make the case for cities to invest in understanding and supporting logistics activities, because we feel like there are strategies that can both serve industry, and by that I mean sort of help them operate in efficient and cost-effective ways, but can also kind of serve city residents in terms of reducing traffic and reducing CO2 emissions. There are ample ways we can do that, but we have to, you know, communicate and talk about it. The city needs to understand kind of what shippers and carriers want to do. And so we really saw a need for those conversations and that sharing. But, you know, there has to be you have to be able to convince people that it's important and that it's a priority that competes with all the other priorities in a city. Transit, you know, micro mobility, bike infrastructure, you know, traffic congestion relief, tolling strategies. There's so many demands, and it's, you know, we've been trying to make that case, and it's just gotten a lot easier with COVID. And, you know, the need to support small businesses, the need to support delivery options, is now really obvious. And, you know, we're no longer sort of trying to explain why these businesses need access to goods and services. I think the other thing that's changed, and this isn't really so much about goods and services, but that we collectively had to start changing our mind about things and trying new things very quickly, right? We've closed streets just in a day, put up signs and close them down. And, you know, the idea that pre-COVID that we would do that, that would take years. So I think just this idea that cities as well as everyone else was going to kind of throw off some of the past assumptions and dig in and do things in new and innovative ways has also, you know, that's how we think as researchers and innovators. That's what we do. We're constantly trying to think about new ways and how to try stuff. And it's okay if it doesn't work out, but you know, you learned and you tried and you iterate. So I think just that idea has filtered into a lot of our relationships, and you know, the urgency of needing to act, not just with COVID, but also, you know, with the climate, I think has put people kind of in a new mode of operating. So one of the things we've done recently is pilot the Seattle Neighborhood Delivery Hub. And that is a joint, you know, partnership between several private sector companies, as well as the city of Seattle. And we have, you know, some very positive results from that. We did about a 3-month pilot and looked at delivery with a cargo bike, electric assist cargo bike, also a common carrier locker for consumer pickup of packages. And there's also a ghost kitchen there. So this idea that we could have some space in cities sort of at a neighborhood level, where there would be a mix of sort of logistics activities that are, you know, pro sort of are efficient for our carrier and retailer friends and improve service quality and access for customers, as well as being kind of carbon dioxide efficient, sort of traffic efficient solutions. So I think something that can really meet all of our needs collectively as we try to, you know, build more sustainable, more livable, more business friendly cities. So, you know, that as an idea and that as something that I envision our the future of urban freight looking like. So I think we are going to need kind of neighborhood scale assets, logistics hubs, bike, you know, delivery locations in order to both, you know, meet our climate goals as well as, you know, really reduce the cost of the last mile, both for carriers and also for customers, you know, to give them options that they enjoy and that keep our communities sort of places that people want to live. So love you, you know, check that out. We're excited. We're going to do some more. We're going to do another pilot test in New York. And I think that's a really good template for sort of thinking about the future of the last mile and the future of retail access. And would love to, you know, we're going to continue to work on that. And we think it's a good model.
You're right, Jen. That was absolutely fascinating and a very big idea. Now, as we're coming out of the pandemic, there really seems to be this feeling of optimism. You see it all the time. You hear about it. You can just feel it. People want to hold on to the innovative spirit that got us through the crisis.
I completely hear that a lot. And that's why I wanted to end today's episode with another clip from NRF Next. So this one is from Jared Isaacman. He is the founder and CEO of Shift for Payments. But you might have recognized the name recently because he was the commander of the SpaceX mission recently that sent civilians into orbit.
Was that not exciting?
It was super exciting.
I mean, anybody that knows me knows I am a rocket nerd. I'm a space nerd. And I actually, that day, that evening that they shot that rocket off, 8:04 p.m., I went out to the beach and I was able to watch that. And it just gave me chills to think not only was it a phenomenal rocket launch and a beautiful night, but it actually what they were achieving. I was basically a witness to history. And I thought that was so way cool.
Yeah. And I feel like it's just reinvigorating the excitement for the space program. This whole like, you know, privatization of space is it's opening our imaginations, right? So it's invigorating a whole new generation of space nerds. And I love that.
Yeah. But what does it have to do with retail though? I mean, when you get right down to it.
Well, we started about, you know, talking about big things. And so there's really nothing bigger. You can't reach further
True
than
that.
Space, right?
Yep.
So
the final frontier.
Exactly. And so this next clip is Jared talking about how much how enthusiastic he was, not only to do this finally in his life, but to work with people at SpaceX who are, you know, the most talented people living out their dreams. He talks here about how he decides to push boundaries, how he makes those decisions, and what it's like to work with SpaceX.
And let me just tell you, nobody gets more nerdy than somebody that just listens to that intro and gets goosebumps. And I have goosebumps.
Jared was interviewed by Morgan Brennan from CNBC. So in this clip, you'll hear her ask him a couple of questions as well. Let's hear it.
On a relative risk basis, everything is lower risk than flying air shows 18 inches apart from other aircraft. So right from the start, I feel like I'm trending down in terms of my risk tolerance, even though it seems like, you know, going to space might be an increase. It's really not. And a lot of that just comes in the confidence around the track record of SpaceX. Like, again, incredible organization that's just reinvigorated the world's interest in space exploration every time they land a rocket on a boat in the middle of the ocean. You're talking about like maybe some of the most like talented people in engineering and aerospace in the world. So I'm actually incredibly confident in their technology, their amazing track record.
Sounds like you've learned a lot from SpaceX.
To the immense frustration of my coworkers at Shift4. I can't help but come back from there and just observe the way they do things and say, we got to do things better. I mean, they set a bar unbelievably high. They also, like, they benefit from extraordinary talent and a mission unlike any other company in the world. Like, think of the mission statement you would see on any company. None of them say, like, we're going to make humankind a multi-planetary species because the world is more interesting when people can journey among the stars. That's the best one, like, period. So it would almost be irresponsible to my company and my shareholders if I didn't try and take some lessons learned from their approach. I look at the decisions they make and say, like, would I have done that? So for example, that badass spacesuit that you see people wear from SpaceX, they build it themselves. And there's probably a million other examples of that throughout the organization. It's just, it's like, it's eye-watering stuff how impressive they are.
You know, there's been a lot of pushback, I feel like, on the so-called private spaceflight sort of era that we're moving into, this, you know, the so-called billionaires going to space and this whole idea of, oh, they're joyrides, et cetera, et cetera. But what I think a lot of people overlook is the fact that over the decades, there have been some incredible innovations and society-changing inventions that have come from space as well. How do you see it? How do you think about it, especially as an entrepreneur who's now getting ready to embark on your own trip?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. These investments that are being made today by some wealthy individuals will serve the benefit of society in the long run. Like, I have no doubt about that. But I do think also, like, we should be thoughtful about the message we are trying to send along the way. That's why, you know, for example, Inspiration 4, right from the start, like, I was very specific about how I wanted to approach crew member selection for this, because like, these are historic, significant moments, and you want to make sure the message you're sending is the right one. So how we went about our crew selection process, why St. Jude had to be such an important part of the mission, is very important to me, and something I think everybody should give thought to as we kind of make these first steps towards the second space age. I never would have expected, 8 months ago that I'd, have an opportunity to go to space, or, you know, have a platform where you could make such an important contribution for an organization like St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, or, you know, wind up getting any of the coverage or exposure. I mean, these are like some of the just most interesting and like satisfying elements of life. And like, you know, we can aim high all the time, whether it's in like our personal lives or philanthropic ambitions or what we do in business, like NRF is supporting right now. So, you know, for as many of like the setbacks and disappointments and, you know, difficult circumstances we have in life, like what we all went through in 2020, we can keep aiming high and persevere, and you just never know what tomorrow may bring.
Jen, thank you for giving us a new take on the content from our virtual shows. Now, remember, NRF members can access much of the content from these shows on NRF On Demand on the NRF.com website and on the NRFNext.com website. That's NRFNXT.com. And thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more details about today's show and our summer programming at retailgetsreal.com. And please send your episode ideas and feedback to podcast@nrf.com. Jen, it's been a real treat. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Bill.
And thank you all for listening again. And remember, during this time of a pandemic, stay safe, be well. Look forward to next time.